Good evening. It's good to be with you this evening. My wife and kids and I are excited to be here. We've been looking forward to it for a long time. Made a little bit longer by the hurricane, but we made it in and safe, and I appreciate the kind words and the welcome that we've received from the good people here. It's good to know brethren in places like this, kind of out here on an island by yourself, continuing to remain faithful and doing what God wants us to do. And I'm looking forward to spending time here together with you. I hope you'll be patient with me as I'm learning from Brent, hopefully to get better and maybe one day be better than he is. But I got a long way to go, which is what I have been learning. So anyway, if I do say anything that's incorrect or if I make any mistakes, Brent will probably lash me for it, but you're welcome to let me know. And I mean that with all seriousness. If I say something that you feel like is incorrect, feel free to let me know. I make mistakes just like anybody, and I'm not ashamed of it. That's just part of it. But that's not my goal. My goal is to speak the truth, and that's what I'm hoping to do much better now, and that's why I'm here. So anyway, thank you very much for the kind welcome. We're going to be talking this evening about Romans chapter 5, 1 through 11. If you want to get your Bibles out, you can go ahead and be turning there. And we're going to be thinking about some happy things, some things that help us as we live our lives as Christians on the earth to rejoice, things that we all have to rejoice over. I think it's very important for us to be happy and joyous people whenever we can. Even in the midst of great trials and suffering, we still have things to rejoice over. We may not be happy at that moment, but we still have plenty of things to be rejoicing over and to be joyful about. And that's the types of things that I wanted to share with you this evening as we study together. I wanted to start out by asking the question, how do you deal with physical loss? How do we handle the loss of the things that we have on this earth, right? We're blessed with many things in our lives. And honestly, a few weeks ago, I started thinking I may be coming to complete devastation, right? I mean, the eye of the storm was heading straight to West Palm Beach. And, you know, everybody got to see where West Palm Beach was on a map because there it was in the eye of the storm. But thankfully, God shifted the path. And he also reduced it to lessen the damage that they were predicting, which we're grateful for. But what happens to all of our stuff, whether it's a hurricane, a fire, theft, or just it disintegrates over time, right? All of our stuff, everything that we're accumulating, it all just goes away eventually. The stuff that we have on this earth does not last. But how do we deal with the loss of those things? You get something brand new, right? You get an iPad, you get a cell phone, you get a new car, you get a new house, you get a new outfit, whatever it is, right? How do you feel whenever you lose it? You know, you get your new iPhone and then you drop it and crack the screen, right? How depressing is it, right, that you lose stuff like that and it grieves us? Even more so with our relationships, right? We're here on this earth living, and we have all these things that make our lives easier, that make our lives more comfortable, and we have relationships that make our lives enjoyable, make our lives better. But all of those relationships end as well. At least in this earth. On this earth they do. We can't be friends here forever. We can't be brethren here forever. But we do have a hope that we have to look forward to. Amen. If you've been to a funeral where a brother or sister in Christ has died, you may have felt some grief and sadness about the fact that that brother or sister is no longer here. You can't go to them for advice. You can't go to them for enjoyment, laughing together and enjoying life together. But inside, you have a feeling of joy in knowing their outcome. You know that they remain faithful. You know where they are. You know the hope that they had. And that inner feeling of joy and rejoicing that we feel at a funeral of a brother in Christ is a feeling that we ought to have even whenever we lose other things than just our brethren. It's a feeling that we ought to have all the time, but how hard is it to remember that feeling of joy and blessing, the spiritual blessings that we have, whenever we lose stuff and whenever bad things tend to happen to us, right? I wanted to go through Romans 5, 1 through 11, because I love Romans. And because the book of Romans is full of spiritual blessings that we all share that we need to be mindful of no matter what this life throws at us. So I hope you'll study with me this morning, this evening, as we look through those 11 verses. Let's start out by reading Romans 5, 1 through 11. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God? For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." As you read through that, I'm sure that you got hung up thinking about one of the spiritual blessings that are talked about in that text, right? I counted five different spiritual blessings that I think Paul is specifically mentioning and discussing in the text, and they're all related in some way, but I counted five separate ones that I wanted to focus on this evening as we study together. The first being peace. We have peace with God, he says in the first verse. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That first part, "therefore, since we have been justified by faith," is essentially the entire first three chapters summarized. The first four chapters summarized. Chapter 4 talks a lot about the justification, the justified by faith, and how they live their lives by giving us an example of the life of Abraham. But he goes through in detail about the salvation that we've all received by the faith of Jesus, and then our response to His faithfulness and our own faith toward God. But he says, because of that justification, because God has acquitted us of all the charges that were against us, we were guilty of all those charges, but we have now been justified, because we're justified, we have peace with God. Peace with God. Notice how we now have peace with God. That means that we didn't before, right? We once had wrath that was due to us. Earlier in Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." Well, that's great. The wrath of God is revealed against ungodly and unrighteous men. Well, that's not me, right? That's not me. I wasn't unrighteous. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God, as he says in chapter 3, verse 23. In chapter 3, 9 through 12, it says, "What then, are Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one seeks, no one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." We were all worthy of wrath, right? But now, because we've been justified, we have peace with God. the enemies of God now have peace with God. So we can be in the same room together, right? If you don't have peace with someone, it's hard to be in the same room with them. But now there is peace. There is nothing against us to where God can't be with us. There is peace. Since Adam first ate the fruit, we have chosen evil and been guilty and been deserving of God's wrath. But now, God has transformed our hearts to create peace. There could be no peace between us and God as long as we continued our unrighteousness and sinful lives, as long as we desired to do whatever our own heart desire, whatever pleasures and passions we can come up with. There can be no peace as long as we don't submit to the will of God and accept the sacrifice of Jesus. But now we have peace with God. Now we have a heart that desires His will. And God has allowed for peace. Second blessing is found in verse 2, where it says, "Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." It says we have access to grace. But it doesn't just say we have access to grace, as though we have access to the forgiveness of our sins. We have access to the blessings that God wants to shower on us. The way that He words it is an image for us. We have access into this grace in which we stand. We stand in grace. And we have access into the grace in which we stand. The way He words it is it makes me think of the holy places that are talked about in Ephesians. You remember in Ephesians 1 where He talks about we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And in Hebrews He talks about them as the holy places. And in Hebrews 10, 19 through 22 talks about how we have been given access into the most holy place. We have access into the presence of God. The throne room of God. The picture in the Old Testament of the tabernacle's most holy place that only the high priest could enter into once a year, that picture has now been opened for us to enter into. We have access. And we can stand in that access. We boldly stand before the throne of God. You think about the prophets in the Old Testament, the righteous men in the Old Testament who are approached by an angel. You think even about John in Revelation. He's approached by an angel. They fall to the ground, right? And John, it says he fell like he was dead. And the angel says, "Don't be afraid. We don't have anything to fear. We can stand in the presence of God. He has made it so that we have access and that we can now stand before the throne of God. And behold His glory." It says we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We get to see it. Our troubles do not compare with that. My broken cell phone. My lost house in a hurricane. Nothing can take that away from me either. That's a greater blessing than anything physical on this earth. And it's mine. Because God has desired to give it to me. But it doesn't end there, right? Verse 5, we're to number 3 now. Romans chapter 5, 3 through 4 says, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope." We think about that access that we have, right? We think about the fact that we can enter into the throne room and make our petitions known to God, and we can have Him hear us, but we still suffer, right? Having the peace with God, having access to His grace, doesn't take away from our earthly sufferings in this life. You know, He may help us and He may remove the suffering and the trial that we're enduring, but He may also not. And whenever He doesn't remove our suffering, we have a promise that our suffering will help create in us a more godly character. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And character produces hope. We have a hope that whatever sufferings that we enter into in this life, that they can create godliness. The earthly problems will continue, but we have to remember that suffering molds us into the image of Christ. Suffering helps to mold our character, to make us more like God, to make us into the type of men and women that God desired for us to be. I know nobody wants to hear that whenever they're in the midst of great suffering, right? I'm in the midst of a trial. Don't come and tell me, oh, it's just going to make you so much better. Well, it doesn't help my problem, right? But it will help. Know that in the back of your mind. Endure the trial. Be saddened by it. Be grieved by it. But inside, realize that's not it. That's not everything that's going on in your life. You have a spiritual blessing from God. He disciplines us and He helps us to grow through our suffering. Looking back on our suffering, we will see how God has changed us to make us more like Him. Paul looked back in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, and he looked back and he saw that he's lost everything. And he says, I count it all as nothing for the sake of knowing Christ, of gaining Christ. He felt as though he has gained more than he could ever lose on this earth by gaining Jesus, by knowing Him. The suffering that you endure helps you to know Jesus who suffered and died for you. Whatever your suffering is, Jesus endured even more. And you get a taste of it when you suffer. I love in Philippians 3 where Paul says, I'm looking forward to knowing His resurrection. I know Him. I've gained Him and I know His sufferings, and I'm looking forward to knowing His resurrection. As we endure the trials in this life, we see here in Romans that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character then produces hope. As we endure the sufferings in this life, it helps to point our attention back to our hope that we have for when this life is over. The trials of this life are temporary. And after that comes the great reward, like Jesus received, of resurrection without suffering. The fourth blessing, as we look at Romans 5, verses 5 through 8, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. All those blessings we talked about up until this point, the blessing of the justification that gives us peace and access into His grace, and then even the blessings of suffering in this life to mold us into being more like Christ, are all because God loves us. And this text specifically just comes out and says it. We have the love of God. Those of us who have put on Christ, those of us who have been justified, have the love of God. God loves you. We have God's love. But the way He words it is, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. God has opened up our hearts. He's pierced our hearts, opened us up, and He's poured His love in there, making our heart of stone into a heart of flesh. How did He do that? Well, the text tells us that He didn't save His own people, right? He didn't save His good people who were innocent, who were in need of help, and He's just right there waiting to save them like a hero, like we have in a movie, right? That's not the way it went. Imagine the movie where the bad guy, the worst of the worst bad guy, is saved by the hero giving the bad guy his son to be murdered, and somehow turning that into the salvation of the bad guy. That's not a movie I've ever heard of, right? That's what God did. God did not save His own people. While we were still sinners, He saved us. While we were still enemies, He saved us. Not because we were good, not because we were righteous. We were His enemies, we were deserving of wrath, and He saved us. He gave His Son before we ever made any change of heart. It's not like the movies. He made a way for His evil enemies to be saved. Think about it as though God opened up a swimming pool to pour His love into a little teacup, right? That's our heart has this huge amount of love that's just been poured out onto it. That we're the most undeserving of all people, yet God loved us enough to allow His only Son to die for us. We have the love of God. What a wonderful blessing. And you keep thinking about these blessings as they grow and grow in this text. You see the final blessing in verses 9 through 11. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood. There's that repetition of justified, right? Much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The key word here is reconciliation. We have been reconciled to God. And the way that he talks about it, as you read through that text, is much more now. Now that we have put on Christ, now that we have been justified and received His blood, much more now that we are His children, that we are now reconciled to God, much more now will He save us. You ever known a Christian who struggles with the idea that God will save him? He's already put on Christ. He's already been baptized into Christ and decided to make repentance of his sins. He's found himself failing and he doesn't feel as though he's worthy anymore, right? You ever been that way? I've been that way before. I've felt that way. Much more now that we have decided to be his children, that we have been forgiven of our sins. Much more now will he save us. He saved us when we were still enemies, when we still had all that guilt on our shoulders. He saved us. He removed that guilt. He will save us again. If we make sure we turn our hearts to Him, we focus our lives on His will, even though we make mistakes, God is our Heavenly Father. Much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. If He saved His enemies, will He not save His children? The picture of reconciliation brings our mind back again to the very beginning when we were removed from the garden, right? No longer having access into the garden. It was blocked off. But now we have access. Now we are reconciled. Now we have peace with God. Now we have a hope that we can be pleasing to Him. Rejoice. Whatever suffering, whatever trial comes your way in the future, which I'm sure it will, rejoice inside knowing that you have these wonderful blessings from God that cannot be taken away from you. You have a hope that is unlike any other, that is spiritual in nature, that comes from your Heavenly Father. He wants to hear your petitions. He wants to hear your thoughts. He wants to know you. He wants you to know Him. He wants to share His love with you.
rejoice.
Have you accepted Him? Have you taken part in the blessings that He has to offer? You know, the suffering that goes along with the persecution that Christians might endure, the trials of this life, it's hard. But we have so much to rejoice for after this life. If anybody here has not received the blessings that God has to offer you, we want to encourage you to do that. Please make the choice tonight. Become a child of God. If you need to do that and you know it's time, please come as we stand in